out. It's just right at my limit. And so this last year it was 96, and for the first time I did turn down a few people, but they know that I want to know earlier how many. It's, you know, we buy used furniture. We have to have chairs, outdoor chairs, for that many people. So we go around and buy used, well, they need repair. Every year we have to paint a certain number and repair them and so forth. So it takes several weeks to prepare for that for us. But that's a good question. And pray for me, because my daughter, who lives in Sweden, and she's married to one of our disciples, she has forbidden me to have it again. That's what I'm going to try to get. See, we have. Well, our house is built way on one end. It just was that way, and we saw all the possibilities when we were looking for a house. And we got this big yard most people don't have in the front, and that's where we put the pole, and we do the folk dances around it and so forth. And we have room to have some people on a deck and some people on under tents, you know. And so nobody else has that. But I thought this year, and you could be my prayer support for this, I'm going to say to them, I would love to let someone have it at my house, and I'd be the helper. But I can't be the main person anymore. So we'll see how many helpers I get. One helper won't do it. But it's so great, because every year we have at least one person comes to know the Lord. It's our biggest evangelistic outreach, and everybody else loves it. It kind of helps us build family in our church body. So, and people get a chance to check out what are these Christians like, you know, without actually going to a church. That's a big step. Okay. Back to the program now.
If everybody would just pick up your seat and turn around, we have the slides showing on the wall back there. No, wait a minute. Have a screen?
There.
There it is.
There we are.
Okay. And can we make it a little bit smaller?
But, John, we don't want this.
No, we switched to the wrong.
Yeah, well, this is the next one.
Oh, but do we have to have that up there?
No. Oh, that would be on mine
yeah.
Then, right?
Yeah.
That's escape. There we go. I'm going to have to go back down here.
And let's see That's our family that you just saw whiz by. And they all came to visit us in August this year. It was our first time. All 15 of us have been together in 10 years. So it was so special.
Yep, look at this place. Let me see. Maybe that's okay.
There we are. We went over the border to Norway. That's why all the Norwegian flags.
And then we'll go here. From the beginning and see if that works.
No, it's doing it again. Same thing.
No, that's correct.
Oh.
That's correct.
Okay.
All right. Sorry. Here we are in the west coast of Sweden, which is Gothenburg. And now, Chris, I think, has just used this.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. We asked you this the last time. I don't know if anybody was here when we were here 4 years ago. Why Sweden? answer is because of the fact that there's so much atheism, right? And we asked you this question, what percent of Americans declare themselves to be atheist or agnostic? That is, they...
We've got new statistics. So what do you think?
50%.
Okay. 50? Any other guesses? 70?
Oh, this is in the U.S. we're talking.
50%, 75.
U.S.
10%, and you win. It's 11%.
Yeah, they were thinking we were talking.
That's the number of people that declare themselves.
And
so
now,
what about in Sweden?
No, somebody had it.
What was it?
70.
75. Well, you're right in there. 75 to 85 percent.
Unfortunately, you're right in there.
And now we have a new statistic. So what a percentage of the population of Sweden is now Muslim?
Good guess.
15, 16, the answer is about 10%. Now, nobody knows exactly for sure, but it's around 10% or a little bit more. True believers in Christ, oh, probably between 1.5% and 2%. And the next question is, what defines a mission field? 98% plus people that don't know Jesus, that may qualify. That's why God called us there. But Muslims now outnumber evangelical Christians by 6-1. When we were here 4 years ago, it was 5-1. Now it's going up. And population estimates now project that the population of Sweden is going to be 30% Muslim by 2050, as the way things are going now. So how big is Sweden? Well, there are 10.7 million people in the country of Sweden, which means that probably 10.6 million are not believers, and there is a great need. So our mission is to make disciples who make disciples. But before that, they have to come to know Jesus, so we have to help share the gospel to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the domain of Satan to God. And so I'm going to pause just a little bit to see what are the common things that you might know about Sweden. What do you know about Sweden?
I
guess.
Yes.
Well, that's very number two. Let's. The first one is moose. They're like, if you're a European,
okay,
they'll say moose.
He's got another idea.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
you didn't
stop to see us.
Well, you guys didn't give me a number.
Oh,
it's on our prayer letter.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. Very much so.
It does.
If so, that's why there are a lot of Swedes in Minnesota. Okay. Have you ever heard of this guy, Alfred Nobel?
Yeah.
Like the big prize ceremony that occurred in December?
We have a king and queen, but they don't have really political power. And then joined NATO.
It's a socialist country. But a socialist country means they have to draw in huge amount of taxes. This is the Swedish slide, not mine. But they have calculated that for every 4 days of work, 3 days of those wages will go to taxes. And the other day will go to you. That's how they pay for all the social systems in Sweden.
And they're running out of money.
So if you want a social system, that is what you need to expect and be glad to pay.
Yeah.
So NATO since last year, and of course everybody thinks that all the Swedes are blonde and blue-eyed.
Which most of them are.
Most of them are, but not all. Now, here's another one.
Guess what this is.
What do you see? What are you looking at here? No guesses. Okay, we'll give you another clue. Here's another clue. Did you give it? Oh, you did two more clues.
No.
Yes, you did. That's the last clue.
Yeah.
No, next to last clue. One more shows you outside our back window.
This is a wild boar, and they are invading Sweden, even our own yard.
That's one in our backyard that I took a photo of outside our kitchen window. Now, that's my neighbor's yard. That's what they do when they get in a herd and they come in your yard. So, fortunately, we've been protected.
By John.
We're not going to say how we protect it, but we protect our property.
Somebody
we,
got it.
We mark our property. So, it's... This is our... Yeah.
That's our family. This is what we were like when we left for the field. Ray remembers us from this time, maybe.
Yeah.
This is our oldest son. He's a police in Chicago.
That's Jonathan. He has four kids.
And Daniel is also in Chicago. That's why we like to be there.
So again, you get his name. There he is.
And no kids, but his wife.
They both work in Chicago area. Yeah. This is our third, who is Tina.
Our daughter, whom I told you about before. And then Anders lives with us in Sweden now. He's having a lot of problems. And we need prayer for him.
He needs a lot of prayer. This is our home and ministry center.
You see John's office there? It's so great because it used to be our daughter's bedroom. But people can come in the door, just turn to the right, go into him, and I can continue with what I'm doing.
Unless this is the new house after our first house burned down in 2010. And we did all the
gingerbread on the house.
Handiwork,
we did that ourselves.
To make it look a little cuter. Our strategy is very simple. It's twofold. Show love and share truth. That's basically what we do in everything we do. Show love and share truth. So we'll kind of divide this presentation into those two categories, showing love.
And we minister both to the Swedes and to the Muslims. These are three of my beautiful Iranian girls. We find sometimes it's easier to lead a Muslim to Christ than it is a Swede, a committed atheist. It takes a longer time. But this is showing love by serving. I made a bunch of chicken soup and sandwiches because her daughter was getting married. They didn't have any money, and so we had 25, 30 volunteers from the church to help fix it up, and I just brought the food.
And yours truly performed the wedding. So this is my Swedish Hell's Angel. His name is Danne. He's a former biker, and he's got tattoos all over the place. But look at the smile. Look at this. He came to, with his wife, he came to my Introduction to Christianity class a year ago. And he said, guys, I just want you to know that I have finally accepted Christ as my Savior. He said, I was just so drawn by the love of this group that I couldn't resist any longer. And he, after we finished the course, said, we can't stop. We got to keep going. Look, you guys all come to my house once a week. I'll cook the food and make all the arrangements, and John will take care of all the spiritual stuff. So this is our really interesting Damne Bible study.
We call it, it's a motley crew.
This is a motley crew. Okay, it's me. Then Tarek, who is a refugee from Syria, we'll talk about him later. Mahtin, he's a refugee from Iran. Then there's Dan in the middle. And then Maria is a recovering alcoholic, very strong Christian now, but she was out of fellowship with the Lord for a long time. And her son, Alex, who is now trying to kick alcoholism, he's trying to get free. Aldona is a very strong Christian Polish lady, or a woman who came to Sweden from Poland. So that's Lena and Donna now really happy together. She prayed for him for 14 years.
This is a Swedish national costume, and that's our granddaughter.
So now we're into sharing truth. How do we do that? Well, we do that. One of the ways is by doing evangelism. So this is a book table we set out in the middle of the square where our church meets. And we set it up any time there's kind of special events. You see these plastic boxes with flags on them? Those are all the flags of the different countries that we have literature and evangelistic material in that language. So we have about 30 different boxes with 30 different languages with evangelistic material. So when people come by, they see the flag, and oh, what do you got in there with my flag? And then we can give them all the stuff. We give out Bibles, we give out Gospels, we give out tracts, we give out goodies. We provide free tea, coffee, and cookies, and so yeah.
This,
people like to come by.
This guy you see here, it was Marcus. Oops, I shouldn't have gone there. Don wants you to pray for him. He lives right behind us, and we've been, especially John, he loves John. Every time he sees John's outside in the summer, usually, comes out and follows him around, as whatever he's doing. But he's got real atheistic hang-ups, and please pray for Marcus when you think of us.
He listens.
Yeah.
And he's listening more lately. I've witnessed him quite a few times. So, oh, boy, will we covet your prayers for Marcus that he come to know Jesus soon.
And some of you probably remember Layla with her son there. He's 18. Because she, we led her to Christ. She was also a refugee from Iran, who had been beat up. I mean, all her teeth are smashed out and burned. Cigarettes, tortured, and so forth. They wanted to take her son from her after her husband was killed in a car accident. And she had to really fight for him. Anyhow, we probably told you about her last time. But she got, eventually, through a lot of work that we and the members of the church put in, we helped her get permanent residency in Sweden, and her son sees that as a miracle from God. He hasn't quite embraced Christ like she has yet, but he's very close.
I've shared a couple times with Kianmer, that's his name.
And then through these people, we get to know their relatives. So she arranged the stairs so that we could meet them, and on the far left is her brother, his wife, that's her sister. And then to the right of...
On the far right side is her...
Brother-in-law and nephew. So that's how it goes. We get more context. And this is to illustrate generational influence that we've had because...
We've been there so long.
You know, short-term missionaries, God bless them, but they can't do without the language and understanding the culture and hanging in there.
Long-term relationships.
Kind of blessings that we have. And Carlene, we led to Christ when we were doing 10 years of youth ministry. This is way back. And then she met her husband from Egypt, Reda.
Who was a Christian.
And they got married, but he needed a lot of discipling because he was a Copt. And then when their daughter, Demiana, turned 14, Carlene was having a lot of trouble with her. So she sent her to stay with me. And then John and I decided to take her to our church family camp. And you can see on her face.
Not happy girl.
She didn't fit in with the atheist Christian, non-Christian Swedes. She didn't fit in with the Muslims. And she wasn't a Christian herself. But at the camp, this is who she became.
Yeah.
And she loves the Lord. And so then they live in Stockholm. See, when we lead people to Christ in Gothenburg, and then they move away for their job or whatnot, we have a responsibility to keep pastoring them, kind of. And so we do that by phone, which is what I ended up doing with Demiana and Carlene. And Carlene waited till her dad was comfortable when she was 19 with her getting this type of baptism.
She really wanted to get baptized before this, but we encouraged her when she was underage to hang in there and wait and follow her.
And
her father.
Yeah. And now he approves of it. So it was really a good thing. Then this is Carlene and Reda at Demiana's wedding this past July. And she asked us to be part of the wedding and to read the scripture, which is really a privilege. And
It was the entire chapter of 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter.
We read it every other verse. And
New Testament.
We read it really with emotion. And it was an opportunity to minister to
the... That was a witness to the 250 people that were there at the wedding as well. So
yeah.
Yeah, and she married a strong Christian.
And they're doing church planting now in Stockholm.
So this is her younger sister, Miriam.
Now Carlene is sending Miriam to us.
This is Lucas. Lucas is a tough but very tender-hearted 17-year-old Swede who had lots of doubts and questions about Christianity. So we started meeting, and we met and searched for answers and found answers in God's Word for about, I don't know, a year and a half. This is spread out until he finally, well, he was struggling. He had a lot of depression. One time he was online in social media, and there was a new Christian song or music playing in the background, and
it had nothing to do with...
This had nothing to do with...
He just got on his phone.
Online. It just happened to be playing in the background. He was on the site and ended up in a chat room where the people were encouraging a young teenage boy to commit suicide, and he did online. And it was so traumatic for Lucas that he associated the Christian song with the suicide and all of the recommendations about suicide, and he was depressed, and he was having some suicidal thoughts himself, didn't want to have anything to do with Christian, was absolutely terrified that this song would start playing somewhere, and it would affect his mental state, and he just struggled with this for a while. Last spring, he finally said, that's enough, because I'm challenging him, I'm not pushing him, but I am challenging him to believe. We had gone through, he understood what a trust in Christ meant. He made the decision, I need to believe in Jesus, and he came to faith with me. And a few months later, in this last fall, he decided to go public. But at the day he trusted Christ, his parents said, who are Christians, said, we have to celebrate. So he took everybody out for dinner and celebrated the step of faith that their oldest son had made. And then at his baptism, he gave such a powerful testimony that his 15-year-old younger brother cried. He was crying. Who hasn't made a decision for Christ yet. So we want to ask you to pray for his younger brother, Daniel, that he'll come to know Jesus soon as well. Well, Tariq is a guy who comes from Syria.
Raised Muslim.
He was...
He's an IT guy.
Yeah.
Any IT guys here?
Yeah, there's one back there, too. Uh-huh. Too. Well, yeah, he looks like Rasputin, so he's a little put offish, you know. And when he first came into the church, everybody's going, oh, who is this guy? We befriended him. And after I preached, he came up and he started asking questions, and we started meeting. This is meeting for lunch. We did that many times. I started sharing Christ with him. He's got so many questions. He came up and said, I've been an atheist now for years, but I'm not satisfied. My life is not, I'm not happy. It doesn't answer anything, the questions that I have about life. And he started getting more and more interested in what God says life is and what it's for and who we are and what we need to do and our condition and so forth. And he became, he trusted Christ finally with me. And he has just become a sponge for biblical teaching. more. He can't get enough. So I was just so excited. He got invited to church the first time by another guy who is from a Muslim background, not the same country or language, but from Iran, named Namatin, also one of the guys in that Bible study. And these guys...
There's Matin.
They just said, oh, man, we don't want you to leave when we're coming. This was just a month and a half ago when we left in December. So these two guys are on fire for the Lord, and we just love them so much. It's hard to leave when things are going well with guys you're training. So we're looking forward to getting back and getting some more ministry to them. This is Victoria, and Chris is going to tell you about her.
Victoria, I might have told you a little about her 4 years ago. I'm not sure. But Victoria was adopted from Ethiopia to Sweden, and her adoptive father sexually abused her. He was the head of the social services in the city they lived in. And I was in a Christian counseling center helping out when I met her. And at that time, she dressed like a boy, or looked like a boy of about 20. And she, through meeting every week, she trusted Christ, and she was growing in her faith. And I had about 9 months with her. And then we were going back to the States for a year so our kids could get a year of English while they were in grade school. And while I was gone, the counseling center gave her to somebody else that she didn't particularly match with. And so she stopped coming. And she went back to the homosexual community in Gothenburg and went underground. I mean, I couldn't find her. And it was so hard for me. But then I found out from a doctor friend that she had had the sex change. And so she became a trans person, a man, and lived like that I don't know how many years, but...
we couldn't find her and kept praying for her.
Yeah. And 20 years went by. 20 years. First of all, I was just heartbroken. I cried when I heard about her operation. I cried for 3 days and three nights. She was like a daughter to me. And I thought, I knew her. She had made an honest commitment to the Lord, and I just prayed for her soul. Well, anyhow, I got an email. Do you remember me, Victoria? She used her real name again. I wrote right back, of course I remember you. I've never stopped praying for you. She said, then she sent me another one. I am fighting my way back to Jesus. And she had convinced them to reverse the surgery. Now they can't really do it, but as much as they could. And she has tremendous health problems from it. And she is so against it, it's you wouldn't believe. But anyhow, she has come back to Jesus full force. And I want to show you a picture of her baptism this past spring. And you see the little stack there? She's holding a passport in her hand, and there are three more on the table. And so she publicly told her story of all the different names she's had, the different identities she's had, and now she has an identity in Christ. So... I'm so thankful for her, and I have as much joy, more joy with her than I had of the sorrow, you know.
So this is for sure.
This was Easter this past year.
This is our church, Sandusach Kristof Shamling, on our summer family church camp. And this is the neighborhood that our church meets in. And it is a very multicultural area, a lot of immigrants. We meet in a rented facility. We don't own any property. We do rent also an apartment, so we have a place.
This is the apartment.
For a meeting, smaller meetings and for counseling and for Bible studies and youth meetings and things like that. But we ask you to pray for this also because in June we are being kicked out of our apartment 1 year after completely remodeling the apartment because they have a need for extra apartments for immigrant families. So we don't, as of June, we're not going to have a place to meet any longer in the area where our church meets. These are our two elders, Jakob and Håkan. I'm not an elder. I support the elders. I support the church planning. So I'm kind of underneath. I'm supporting from underneath. This has got to... We want this to be a Swedish ministry that continues. this is our church meeting, and in the hall there that we have to set up and tear down every week. because we're not the only people that use this.
And all. Clean.
And clean, yeah. So here's our brothers and sisters. And there's yours truly, sharing the truth, preaching and teaching. I'm just going to show you a couple. I often preach, not every Sunday, but often. And it's always all in Swedish, so it's... you know, it helps to have PowerPoints and things like that. Everything is Swedish so that the people can follow along easily and get it. We do retreats for both men and ladies. But all of these ministries we're doing in not our natural mother tongue requires a lot of preparation and time. Another thing that I've done, and Chris has, we work together on this, is drama. This is Joseph and his dream and Joseph's dilemma, explaining. And so this becomes a message for the whole church, including the children. So they sit and listen, and they take it all in. Abraham, believing in God. This is Nathan, a shepherd, visited by angels. And here is Zacharias, the priest who became mute after the angelic revelation, who was the father of John the Baptist, a miracle baby as well, the forerunner of Christ. So we try to use all of these means in order to communicate the gospel to people.
And then counseling. This is outside. Inside, she was a wife abuse victim. She's really tight with the Lord now, and I'm so proud of her. Then we do premarital counseling, this wonderful couple, and then John did the wedding. And hospitality is a big part, too, so I need to hold out. This is pumpkin soup after church, and this is a smaller group.
Just inviting guys to our home.
Lots of... And then we have some special events, like the midsummer I talked about earlier. But this is a Valentine or spring banquet for couples. And we do it by invitation only because we can only hold about 22 couples.
This beautiful banquet hall is our living room.
I make the invitations and then make all the food.
I do a 7 or 8 page program, which includes songs and... Mm-hmm. Quotes and thought-provoking questions. Yeah.
And then I do the floral arrangements, and those are my servers, I should say, so that I can be with. I started out trying to do the serving too, but it doesn't work.
So this, we invite, this by invitation only, so we can have about 22 to maybe 24 couples. That mm-hmm. maxes out our space. And we want this to be an encouragement to our younger couples. And it's a sit-down, free, three-course served dinner with activities. So one of the activities is a very dynamic speaker we have to present some aspect of marital relationship that we want to emphasize for that evening. And we give them assignments. We have them start already at the banquet, and then they take it home if they don't get finished during the evening to continue it.
And then the men serenade the wives, and this is my favorite part.
So this is just going to show you some pictures of some of these couples we've worked on for years, Yara and Maria. This is Rickard. You're going too fast.
Okay.
Rickard and Malin, and this is Carlene and Reda.
They come all the way from Stockholm.
Yep, they come down from Stockholm for this. This is Ruben
Six
and
hours.
Vara. They come from Bolivia. They've been in Sweden a long time. This is Linnea and David, both Swedes. So it's a mix. Nana and Torbjörn, we call him Tobbe. And Magdalena and Atle, he's a Norman. He's from Norway. And then we do Midsummer. This is our
I'm just going to run through this real fast because I already told him about how. And then we have to have people to decorate the pole. And then John has to put up that cover because it always rains for
rains.
Part of it. And then this is the folk dancing around.
And then we grill. We have collect grills from all
They all
over.
Bring
so
their
grill
own.
For 90 people or 95.
Yeah, they all bring their own meat to grill, and except for new people.
And we have a serving line on we set up, and everybody stays for sure through dessert because it's always strawberry torte. And then after that, we come inside and we do singing and we pray. And then I give an evangelistic, a fairly short evangelistic message, and invite people to trust Jesus. And we always see something fantastic and marvelous happen. We also are involved in CEF, and that's Child Evangelism Fellowship, if you haven't heard of it. I think most people probably have. Their motto, of course, is every child, every land, every day. So 10 years ago, Sweden was one of only two European countries, all of Europe, Western Europe, but all of Eastern Europe as well, that did not have a functioning CEF ministry. So we helped get a board together, and we started CEF in Sweden 10 years ago. We started with...
Could I say the only country left is Iceland?
Yeah. The last holdout. And that's a tough country. I'd pray for Iceland. That place needs Jesus probably even more than Sweden does. Well, I'm the head of the national board. Christine is also on the board with us. Now our daughter has joined the board, and we have a couple of other members. But we started with no... Everybody's just a volunteer. We had no missionaries. We had no full-time workers. And we were reaching maybe a couple of score of kids. And after a few years, we had a team of...
Four.
Four, actually. Three of whom you see on this slide. The three on the left are Judith from Germany, who's a full-time missionary. But she's suffering long-term COVID, so... Boy, she needs prayer too. The next two are our team leader couple, Robert and Maria. They're both Swedes, lovely, wonderful Christians. He's notarying his church in a city about an hour north of us in Gothenburg. Our daughter Tina, Chris, and I, and then there's one other board member who is from Northern Ireland. This is Robert and his... Rebecca is his daughter, and she is our full-time literature coordinator. So she is just such a wonderful, marvelous workhorse for Jesus. She translates and works on developing curriculum and gospel material for kids nonstop. She is just such a wonderful
blessing. And she's half deaf.
Yeah.
She wears hearing aids, but...
Yeah.
Then we have home clubs, and this is summer Bible clubs, and then Christmas and Easter parties.
So we started with scores, and then after a few years, we were reaching hundreds, and now we're reaching thousands of kids in Sweden through CEF. This is our church the last Sunday before we left Sweden.
In December,
Just 8 weeks ago. And... they were commissioning us to come to the United States, thanking you for sending us to them. So we want to relay their thanks. Thank you for allowing us to be there with them and ministering with them and to them and through them in Sweden. So where will the path in Sweden lead? That's our kind of our closing question. Will it lead to death and sin, or will it lead to life in Christ? Well, of course, you know why we're there. We want to get as many into that category as possible, life in Christ. But we can't do it alone. And your help is so crucial, and we're thankful so much for your help as you pray and as you give and as you go. There may be somebody that God might call to go to Sweden. And as you send, the people of Sweden that come to Jesus are waiting for more helpers and waiting for more people to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. So thank you for sending us as your representatives to the lost sheep in Sweden. We have about 9 minutes maybe left, right, before we're done. Maybe we could take some more questions if you have them.
Yeah.
Yes?
How long did it take you to learn Swedish?
Good question. I made the mistake of trying to teach my first course after only 1 year. It was more like a comedy routine than it was an actual course.
However, John, don't forget, it was a little over a year, and we were doing dishes together, and we started arguing.
I forgot.
Nej, det var det inte. Ja, det var det.
Jo, det var det.
Nej, det var det inte.
Du kan inte säga så. We've got an argument in Swedish.
We're arguing in Swedish.
We're arguing in Swedish. Praise God. minimum 2 years.
So, yeah, probably 2 years.
But we're not done. I mean, we're still learning.
Idioms. Idioms come slowly.
Yeah, they're. You just have to be exposed to them and memorize them. But yeah, we're both fluent, and sometimes I can pass myself off as Swedish.
Yeah,
sometimes, not always.
But they always. I open my mouth; they know I'm an American. I'm almost tone deaf, so I'm so unmusical. It's horrible.
He's very
musical, and they say it's easier to get the accent right if you're musical. So, anyhow.
But they love her accent. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you had mentioned it probably with alcoholism. My grandfather came from Piquillo.
Yeah, way up north.
He was an alcoholic. I was just curious.
Oh, they're very high.
Big problem.
Yes.
A lot of alcoholism in Sweden. Yeah, it's a big problem. The Finns are probably even worse in Finland, but Sweden is right.
I think that has part
I'm sure
to
does.
Do with
there's
it.
There's just a lot of loneliness and a lot of depression, a lot of suicide in Sweden.
Yeah.
And the national health authorities are well aware of it, and they're concerned about it, but
they're always telling us that the Scandinavians.
I know it.
And,
I know. But you know what?
That's exactly
they tell them they're the happiest. And
they say they're the happiest. And I've tried to figure that out myself. I think it's just because they believe that all of their physical needs are cared for. So spiritual needs don't even come into consideration. But spiritual needs are the primary needs. And they're absolutely ignored. Completely ignored. And so it affects everything.
And people don't bother to get married anymore. So
they have less divorce in Sweden than here in the United States, percentage-wise.
Because only maybe...
They never bother to get married. You get divorced if you're not married.
But they have... Serial monogamy, like they might be with one for 7-8 years and then somebody else, but the children don't really know who the grandparents are.
And end up as a family of one. And very lonely.
Everybody's a family of one at the end, and the tax system favors not getting married.
There's no joint declaration for taxes. Everybody declares as an individual, and all the women have to work. All the kids are raised by the state. Sound familiar? Well, that's just the way it is for the whole country, and it has been for many years.
And as far as
discipline, there's no respect for parents and the kids, and there's no respect for teachers in schools. Toughest job in the country, I think, is to be a teacher when you don't have respect and you have no system that can
discipline
require respect. There are real difficulties with a culture like that, but that's what happens when you reject God, when you reject absolutes, when you reject ethics, absolute ethical standards. All that goes out the window. You lose the majority of what it means to live a happy life, a successful life, a blessed life. all of which you gain when you come to Christ, and, well, not in the culture, but in your own heart. And that's the kind of thing that we see happening when people come from outside of Christianity, especially these Muslims. They come to faith in Jesus. They're like, oh, this is something I never knew. I can't go find it. You know, they're blown away by the love of God. And the answers that are found in life and meaning and Christian hope. Okay. I'll talk a little bit about that.
Good questions.
Thank you, yeah.
Yeah.
Could you speak to the increase of Muslim converts in the country? Is it because there's so many immigrants? Or?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
They're just keeping on coming. And now there's a Swedish political party that is trying to stop that because they've taken in so many. Their culture is kind of weakly held also, and they can easily erode it. And some people are seeing that and trying to... But the thing is, Swedes use abortion as birth control. And so they're... What is it? 1.2 children
per couple.
So the Swedes are decreasing, and maybe the Muslims have 7-8 children. So that also is happening. And Swedes are becoming Muslims, unbelievably so. But some of these freedom-seeking women with blonde hair and blue eyes are wearing the full garb.
Yeah, it's.
But you see, they're in a spiritual vacuum. They're looking for something. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, did you have a
good question? Did you have a follow-up question?
I was curious. Are you guys trying to buy your own building? Is that a possibility so that you could use it as a church full time and not worry about?
That would be lovely. That would be so helpful, but yeah, we're not trying to. And
we're not really actively trying to.
I guess we don't have enough faith to to think about that. But
what would it cost? Say, I mean, I'm guessing things are very expensive there. But
oh yeah, it would cost hundreds of thousands of dollars, and we're only a little church, and quite frankly, there wouldn't be much of anything available in the area where we have traditionally been as a church. The church was founded, it's not a young church, the church was founded over 40 years ago, specifically to plant the gospel in a very hard area. They chose the area, I wasn't part of the original founding group, but they chose this as, at that point, that time it was the hardest area in Sweden with a lot of immigrants, a lot of gangs, a lot of criminality. And I said, this place needs Jesus like nowhere else, so we're going to start there. So they didn't choose an easy place to plant a church. And we've been there for all that time as a steady, continuing witness for Jesus. And we've changed the culture, but so has the mass immigration that occurred in the meantime. So there's the Muslims who move in want to claim the whole neighborhood as Muslim. This is our neighborhood. Well, no, not really. It's our neighborhood too, and we want to live here as friends and as believers in the God who created the heavens and the earth.
If the Lord wanted to give us one, it would be absolutely wonderful, because without this apartment, we're able to put up people there also if they're traveling and they come to visit us, or
we've
speakers
put up some,
and sometimes. Of course we put them up in our homes too, but
sometimes even refugees, Christians that are, you know, fleeing persecution basically.
Yeah, we've hidden people too. Yeah, but it would. A lot of us are praying that that decision to kick us out will be changed, because that gives us some permanency in the area, or semi-permanency.
It would be nice if we had
yes.
our facility.
Yes.
We have a good, yeah. The local, people who run the day-to-day in the community.
The government.
They want us there.
Because
they see
we brought the crime
as
down.
As a restraining influence, because the church was pretty influential in bringing down the crime rate and bringing stability to the community. The problem is the ones that are a little higher up that make the real decisions. They just see everything as statistics. And for them, the statistics say, we need your apartment. And so
but
we have appealed.
A lot of our people live in the apartments all around them. So they're consumers.
We've appealed it, as far as we can go.
Yeah.
And we've been turned down. So they gave us... They thought they were being generous last year in giving us a one-year extension. That runs out in June.
Mm-hmm.
Good questions.
Thank you so much.
Well, we're past time now, so let's adjourn.